forgot the first child I used to be.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of my past. Oh, I traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, free the Lord, free at last.
Yes,
amen.
Hallelujah.
All right, if you have your Bibles this morning,
Let's be turning, if you would please, to the book of 1 Timothy this morning. I know we've heard a lot of preaching today, and not today, but this week we've heard lots of sermons, a lot of preaching on a lot of different subjects today. But what I'm preaching on this morning, wouldn't preach this week. The Lord has given me this message today, and I hope the Lord will help us today to preach it this morning. Hope it'd be a blessing and help to you. In 1 Timothy chapter number 2, we'll begin reading this morning in verse number 8. Be reading in verse number 8. We'll read verse 14 together this morning. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which become of the women professing godliness with good works. Let the women or the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. We read verse 14 together. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Thank you, may be seated. Our Father, we come to you this morning in the precious name of Jesus Christ. We come, Lord, we just simply, Lord, say as we've said probably many times, Lord, this week, thank you, Lord. Now, Father, we ask you to bless the preaching of the Word of God. We know, Lord, that there can be no preaching unless, Lord, the Holy Spirit comes and does the preaching. We know, Lord, there can be no understanding of the Word of God unless the Holy Spirit opens up our eyes and ears and spiritual heart, Lord, to receive the Word of God. Lord, we ask you this morning, as we look into the pages of God's Word, that you'll help us, Lord, to say some things that you'd have us to say, Lord, to reveal some things that you'd have us to reveal this morning. And God, we pray for liberty today that we might proclaim the wonderful Word of God. We pray, Lord, for the lost to be saved. We pray for those of us that are saved, Lord, to be within us a servant's heart developing. And that, Lord, that you'd help us, Father, to be pleasing in your eyes this morning. Lord, I thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, in all these things. Amen and amen. We often, you know, in everyday life, we hear phrases that are used every day by different people. We use them. Other people use them. And when we go to studying them, we find out that many of them have their source in the Word of God. And I have up there in my office, I have a little book that's written by a fella. And all he does is take those little sayings and show you how that they came out of the Word of God. Now, what I'm going to preach on this morning, I'm not sure if it's in there or not. I don't remember seeing it. But you know, little sayings like that we say, so-and-so is going to eat us out of house and home. And we know that come from Genesis 3 because Adam and Eve literally eat themselves out of a house and a place to stay, or a home, a garden. We know we often use that little old saying, you can't get blood from a turnip. And we know that's Genesis 4. We know because Cain, he brought his garden stuff. And he laid it there on the altar. Yep. And God wouldn't accept it because you can't get blood out of a turnip. You can't do that. My wife's grandmother used to say, a little bird told me so. And that's over in Ecclesiastes is where that is. And many of us say, I'm at my wit's end. That's the book of Job where that is. But this morning in our text today, the one we read together today, the Bible is basically saying that Adam did not sin first, but the woman sinned first. Amen. And I want to preach this morning on ladies first. Ladies first.
Amen.
Because we're going to find out many times in the Word of God that it is the lady first.
Yeah.
I hope you ladies don't get mad at me this morning. I'm just going to preach the Word of God. The ladies did an outstanding job this week, as well as the men, but we appreciate what the ladies did, an outstanding job. And boy, I'd be sunk if they all got mad at me. But I guess it's good the Lord, Brother Greg, has led me to preach this the first Sunday after Jubilee, because I'll have a year to get you back in a good humor if you do get mad at me. But we find this in the Bible. And of course, what we read here this morning, is an account of Genesis 3. That's what he's talking about. He said, Adam did not sin first, but the woman. Adam was not deceived, but the woman. Now, when we look at Genesis 3, we find that Sister Eve has three problems that we all have, I guess, sometimes in her life. Her first main problem was the fact that she didn't believe God.
Yeah, right.
God had already told her through her husband, God had already told her, don't eat of the tree. If you eat of that tree, you'll die.
Right.
Evidently, she didn't believe God's word because she went ahead and did what God said, don't do.
Yeah.
Can I tell you that even though we're saved, and even though many of us are saved and have a Bible and read the Bible and believe the Bible, there's times that we simply act out of unbelief. We don't really believe that God will do what God said He would do. And then I'll tell you something else that was Eve's problem, that's our problem in this 21st century, is that Eve simply was not satisfied with what God gave her.
Yeah.
If she'd been satisfied with the wisdom and the knowledge that God gave her, she wouldn't have been wanting more. But the devil said, if you eat of this, you'll be like God, you'll know more.
Yeah.
And a lot of our problem in this world has to do with the fact we're not satisfied with what God has given. We're always trying to get bigger and better or more, and sometimes we don't do that. If God's not in it sometimes, then we wind up in trouble.
Yes.
And so we see that she was unsatisfied. And then number three, we see that she was not under her authority.
Right.
I just say her authority was Adam. She didn't go ask Adam what he thought he should have done, and I realize maybe Adam wasn't there and he should have been there. I don't know, but I don't go into great detail about that. But anyway, she was under the authority of Adam. And you see, all of us are under an authority. The man is to be under the authority of God. The Bible said in Ephesians, sometimes the ladies get upset because that we say, well, your husband's supposed to be your head. Your husband's supposed to be the head of the house. And in this 21st century, sometimes women, they rebuke that. They don't like that. But you got to realize that man has a head also.
Right.
And that man's head is God. He's to be under the authority of God. And then the woman is to be under the authority of her husband. And then the children are to be under the authority of their parents. And so Eve's problem was that she was full of unbelief. She was unsatisfied. And she wasn't under her authority. Now let's look in the Bible this morning, and let's look at some places where that the ladies were first. Well, right here in our text today, we see that the lady was first when it come to being attacked by the devil. Over in Genesis 3, the Bible said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Now, Satan may be a lot of things this morning. And I say this in through the Lord, but Satan may be a liar, and he is. Satan may be a deceiver, and he certainly is. Satan may be the accuser of the brethren, and we know that he is. We realize this morning that Satan is a liar, deceiver, an adversary this morning. He is all of those things this morning, an accuser, a murderer, a thief. He is certainly all of those things this morning. But one thing he is not. He is not a novice when it comes to spiritual warfare. He's been at it for a long time. He's no dummy. This ain't his first battle. Amen. He's already did a battle in the heavens there when he rebelled against God. He's already did a battle up there. And I'll tell you, my friend, now for a long time, for thousands of years, Satan has been engaged in spiritual warfare. And my point here is this morning is that when Satan got ready to attack the first home, please notice this, when he got ready to attack the first home, he did not attack Adam. That was not his point of attack. You say, why was that? Well, it was not. It was ladies first. His first attack was upon the lady there. It was on Eve.
Amen.
Now remember, he's no dummy. He's been at it a long time. He's got a lot of wisdom. And so he for some reason or other, he attacked Eve before that he did Adam. Now why was that? Well, the Bible tells us. First of all, in 1 Peter 3:7, the Bible says that the woman is the weaker vessel, the Bible says. You can read that in 1 Peter 3:7. Now, I know this morning, listen, I know we live in the age when women lift weights and you see them sometimes, and they're all muscular, and they're all, built up, got their body built up, and they look more like a man sometimes than they do a woman. A lot of them are not married. Wonder why. I would want to marry a woman like that. If she got mad at me, she'd beat you to death. Amen. But anyway, we're living in a time like that. But the Bible said the woman is the weaker vessel. I don't have time to develop all of that, but I do know this morning that emotionally, the woman is the weaker vessel. Amen. I think you'll know that to be true. In other ways, we know that in the setting in the garden, that the woman physically is the weaker vessel. We understand that in the setting in the Bible. God never meant for women to take steroids and to lift weights and all that. God never meant for that to be. Amen. But in the setting in the Bible, the woman is the weaker vessel. Let me ask you a question this morning. If there's two people outside the church, you're going to attack one of them. Which one would you attack? The one standing there that looks like Charles Atlas or Hercules? Or would you attack that little one there? Well, the devil's no dummy. So he attacks the lady first. Because she is the weaker vessel. And then there is the deception factor. Now this is Bible.
Yeah.
You read it a minute ago. It said, animals not deceived, but the woman being deceived.
Amen.
You say, what are you saying, Brother Rick? Well, according to the Bible here, the Bible says women are more likely to be deceived than men are.
That's true, brother.
Right. Now, computer age, you like computers. If you don't believe what the preacher's saying this morning, just go to your computer and type in the facts about cults, and it'll tell you that 70% of the people that join cults are women.
Amen.
Right.
That's right.
Women.
Right.
And if you want another interesting study, go and study how many false religions have either been started by a woman or they have been backed up by a woman because women are easier deceived than men are. That's a biblical fact this morning. Amen. That's why he wants to get a woman president. That's why he wants women in leadership places. Amen. Because he can easily deceive them more so than he could a man. Now, I want you to look here, and in our text here, we find three things that often cause problems for a woman. You say, what are they? Well, we see here, number one here, we see in verse 10, the Bible says, verse 9, in like manner also, women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with rotted hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but what's become of women professing godliness with good works. Now this don't only apply to the women, it also applies to the men. But one of the problems of our age and our time, and I guess it's always been, maybe more so in these last days, but that would be that thing of style.
Style.
Well, that would be that thing of how that we dress. Now, I have the name, it's not true, but I have the reputation and the name that Bethel Church is the church where that Rick Prophet pastors, and he makes all the women wear dresses.
Bless
the
Lord,
bless him. That's not true. Now, if they said that's the church where Brother Rick Prophet pastors, and he wishes that all of those that were able would wear dresses.
Yeah.
Now, every time I say that, I get lied on. If you go out here and lie on me,
right,
I pray the Lord to get you.
Yeah.
Bless you,
yeah.
Bless you, Brother Rick.
All right?
Amen.
Amen.
I understand their situations. Thank God for the ladies that come straight from their jobs where that they have to, because of the job they have, they have to wear certain attire and different things. I don't mean that. But what I'm saying this morning is, I'm saying that sometimes we get in trouble in style. You women that are saved, you are, especially you older women, you're to be an example to the younger women and how that you ought to look and how that you ought to dress. Amen. I tell you, the problem is we need about 6 more inches here brought down. And we need about 4 more inches here brought up. That's what the problem is. If you could find that, they cut off and get it back, you could fix that. Amen. I will tell you this morning, and by the same way about men. Don't come in here with your shirt half down, like you're Charles Atlas or something, and let somebody see them 3 hairs you got on your chest. Like you're a man. Don't come in here that way. Don't come in here with shorts on up to here. And don't do that. If you're saved, you're to be an example to these young men in word and deed and conversation. Amen. That's the reason this generation looks like it does, dresses like it does, and acts like it was, is because they're following what they see.
Amen.
You say, boy, you sure know how to kill a Jubilee.
Amen.
Style. We're not supposed to be like Hollywood.
Amen.
We're supposed to be like God.
Set the standard.
Amen.
Everybody.
And then it says that which become of women professing God, and it's talking about the style. And some things that does not profess godliness. A dress on up to here does not profess godliness on a saved Christian woman. You don't do it. Same way with the men. There's certain clothes that does not profess godliness. In other words, if you went out here this morning and you went over there to the police station and the policeman come out, he's got his uniform on.
Right.
You say, I know you're a policeman because your uniform becomes you as a policeman. You look like what a policeman ought to look like.
Right.
You go down to the fire department, they come out, and you say, I know you're a fireman because your clothes become you as being a fireman. May God help you and me to strive to make sure that our apparel, that what we wear, that how we look, it becomes us as that of being a Christian, man of God. Amen. Women of God.
Amen.
Then there's that thing that I mentioned of subjection. You see, he said here in verse 12 of our text, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Verse 11 again, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection, he says. So there's that thing of subjection. We don't want to be in subjection in our day.
Right.
We don't want anybody, not even the preacher, not even God, we don't want anybody to tell us what to do, or how to dress, or where to go, or none of that stuff, because we're living in an age where we don't want any authority over us. God sets up authority.
Yes.
God sets up authority for a reason, for a purpose, and when we break down authority, we get in bad trouble.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And then there is that stylish factor. You see, the Bible said, let the woman learn in silence verse 11, verse 12 says not to be over the man, but to be in silence.
Yeah.
Amen. It's not becoming. It's not becoming in a public setting you to scream and yell at your husband.
Yeah, amen.
Wait, you get home, you're going to do that.
Right.
It's not becoming.
Amen.
Amen. And by the way, man, it's not becoming for you or I to scream and yell at our wives.
That's right.
In a public
honor with your vessel.
Both of us should be able to treat each other
amen.
With the utmost respect.
That's your brother.
And our problem is husbands and wives sometimes that we know how to say, yes, ma'am, thank you. Stand up when the ladies come in.
Yes.
Be kind to the ladies.
Yeah.
We know how to do that in up to other people's wives.
Amen.
But we fail to do it to our own wives. I'll tell you, brother, what you sow is what you reap. And if you women will sow it to your husband, you'll reap it back. And if you husbands will sow it to your wives, you'll reap it back. And if you don't, there's a bad problem somewhere in one or the other. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Silence. You know, there's that dual factor. I'm talking about why it was ladies first in the devil's attack. First of all, there was that design factor. She's the weaker vessel.
Right.
Secondly, there is that deception factor. He knows he'll be able to deceive her easier.
Yeah. Right.
You say, why is that? Well, to deceive somebody, you've got to engage in a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
To deceive somebody, you've got to get somebody to listen to what you're saying and get them involved in a communication.
Yes. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Which one do you think would be easier to strike up a conversation with? Adam or Eve? I'm just preaching the Bible now this morning.
Amen.
Yeah. Just tell you what it is.
Right.
If you call a man and he answers the phone, most time it's yep, no, can't do it. See you later. Bye. It's not going to be that way most of the time if you call a lady. You say, why? Well, God's just designed them different. They are different.
Right.
And I don't care how much iron you pump. I don't care how short you cut your hair.
Yeah.
I don't care how tight you put your men's Levi's on. You can't wear boots. You're still a woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't care if a man puts on a little sissy attire.
Amen.
He gets a little gold chain to hang around his neck, a little gold chain. He puts women's perfume on, fixes his hair like a woman. He may be the biggest sissy in Glasgow. He's still a male.
Yeah.
Right.
God made him that way.
Damn.
There is a difference, amen.
Yeah.
First thing to help you in marriage, you young men, listen to me, some of you olds. First thing to realize in helping you in marriage, you're not the same thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Ladies, the only thing that you got in you that's supposed to be managed is a rib. Your brain's not to be a man.
Right.
Your body's not to be a man.
Right.
Your muscles are not to be a man.
Amen.
Your voice is not to be a man.
Amen.
You say, why? Because God made you a woman.
Amen.
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 Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's good for you.
Amen.
Amen. Well, you say there's that dual factor. You say, what do you mean on that dual factor? If he gets her, he'll probably get him.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Right. 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 Yeah.
Get kids through her.
Yeah.
Right.
I can tell you at least three instances in this pastor's ministry where that women got upset with this preacher.
Oh, me, brother Rick.
Maybe for preaching along these lines, I don't know. But they got upset with this preacher and they quit church. And then the husbands, after a few weeks, they come to this preacher and they say, preacher, I've got to back my wife. I've got to go with my wife. I tell them that's wrong. That's a mistake. You don't go with your wife when she's going against God. You stay with God and wait for her to come back.
Amen.
That's true. And in 1, 2, 3 instances, in all instances, it wind up in disaster and divorce.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it always will.
Yeah. Amen.
I want to tell you, by the grace of God and the help of the Lord Jesus Christ,
yes,
my Father, if my wife goes against God, I don't care how mad she gets.
Yes.
I don't care what she threatens me with. I'm going with God.
Amen.
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 That's
right. You say, why? I've seen what happens when you go against God.
Yes. You're right.
Amen. Amen.
Now, Job didn't fall for it. His wife came and said, curse God and die. You just curse God and die and maintain integrity. God knows a woman been through enough to have a nervous breakdown, and we give her that, we understand that. But there's only one reason why God didn't kill Job's wife. He killed all his children. He had the power, he could have killed his wife, but the Lord said, just save Job. So the one reason why the devil didn't kill Job's wife, he was going to save her to be his number one weapon against Job.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Amen. Job didn't fall for it.
Amen.
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 Hey, ladies, do like Tammy Wynette said, stand by your man.
Amen.
Hey, better not do what God said. Stand behind your man.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless you, Brother Rick.
Amen.
Amen.
That suits me, sir. Look at me in my life.
All right. I'm with you, brother.
Yeah.
Well, I got a blessing here. Wednesday morning, we both had time. How many was here Wednesday morning? My goodness, I'm telling you, God showed up. That old boy from West Virginia, and I was really laboring on who to call to preach because I only had two spots left, and had 15 preachers hadn't even preached yet, and I'm really struggling. I'm really seeking out God about who to give, who to call. And I finally got some peace, and I called up Brother Gary Hunt, an old boy in West Virginia, and he come up here, and as soon as I called on him, his wife sitting where Barbara is, he's sitting where Donald is, as soon as I called on her, she just began to smile and sob and everything, and I said this, I said, boy, I appreciate that preacher's wife. I know he's got a good wife.
Right.
And I said, the reason I know that, because when I called on her husband to preach, she began to smile and grin.
Yeah.
And here's what her face language was saying to me. You're going to hear some preaching now. You called on my husband.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy, come up here and say this from the coal mines and just preach it. And he said, God's blessed us. We don't have nothing. He said, we rode over here on air. You could almost see the air and the tires. But he said, God, get us back. And when he said that, something struck my heart sitting right there. About 5 minutes before the camel got up to come over here, and I laid down. He said, Brother Prophet, he said, we need to get that old boy some tires. And so when he got up, I walked over here and I said, Brother Gary, I said, are you driving that vehicle you're talking about with the tires? You can see the air in them. He said, yes, sir. I said, you're going back with a new set of tires. I said, church, I said, I'm not asking you to give. You don't have to give. I'm not forcing you to give. But I said, I just want you to get in on the blessing if you want to.
Right.
I said, he's going back with a new set of tires. He's going to get them one way or the other this afternoon. And an old preacher got up. Brother Brent Weaver was scheduled next to preach. And if that had been most preachers, I said, Brent, I know right now you ain't going to get to preach. If there had been most preachers, they'd got mad, jumped up, walked out the door. But the heart he had, he got up, walked up here, and laid down some money there. Laid right there, I don't know what it was. And brother, they started coming from every direction. They piled money up this high. And that preacher's wife back there bawling, crying, wiping tears. And little 10-year-old boy standing there. I said, my Lord, he'll never forget that, amen. They got somewhere else in the neighborhood, $800 in about 5 minutes. I tell you, God came all over this place.
Amen.
Well, I'm talking about that woman, boy, she's behind her husband.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
Well, Brother Weaver, just jokingly, he said, Brother Wickham, you said I was going to preach. My wife got up and left.
Amen, brother.
You can call on somebody to preach and their wife gets up and leaves, not meaning him, but when they do that seriously, that tells you something. Their wife didn't even want to hear him, so you ain't going to hear much either. Amen.
Amen. You're right.
And I want you to know, listen, that the woman was the first to be attacked by Satan. Let me say number two. Now, ladies, I've kind of been negative, but I'm just preaching the Bible. I love you. I'm just preaching the Bible, just telling you what God says. The best plan for your home is God's plan.
Right.
It may not fit the 21st century, but it'll work with God, and your home will be blessed.
That's right.
If you'll do what I'm preaching this morning. But the second thing I want you to see is though the lady was the first to be attacked by Satan, the lady was the first when it came to sin's solution. Of what that God would do to avert the problem that had already happened.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
And we know God the Father, God the Son had it planned out from eternity times.
That's right.
Yeah.
But God chose.
Yes, He did.
To use you ladies.
That's right.
God chose to use a lady, a little Virgin Mary. That was a lady who first brought sin into the world.
Yeah.
But it was the lady who would first bring the Savior to the world.
Amen.
See, so women, God exalts you. God, even though the woman sinned, even though she brought sin into the world by not being under the authority of her husband, and he loved her so much, he wasn't deceived. He knew what was going to happen. He just loved his wife and just didn't want to live, and she wasn't going to live. It's a picture of Christ that loved his bride, the church, and he came and died for us because he was willing to die for us that we might live with him throughout all eternity.
Amen.
You see, where would we be without these ladies?
Yes, right.
I know where we'd have been this week, hungry and eating a hot dog. That's where we've been this week. I mean, it's always the ladies that are first to step up. I can easily illustrate that this week. We had 18 helpers, I think. At least the sheet I seen, we had 18 helpers, and all of them, but about four is women.
Amen.
Four or five is women. You say, why? Because the women will volunteer. They'll step up. They'll follow. They'll try to go on more than others do. Amen. Where would we be without her? Thank God for the mother in the home. Someone said the husband's the head of the home. The wife is the heart of the home.
That's it, yeah.
But the children are the harmony of the home. That's pretty good, amen?
Yeah, amen.
When everybody's in their place, home is a little bit of heaven on earth.
Amen.
Amen. They had a big meeting back in the when it started, this Women Live thing. And they were holding meetings, and all Baptist preachers were male chauvinist pigs. And the Apostle Paul was a male chauvinist pig.
That's right.
Because some of the things Paul said that I've read here this morning, other things in the Bible, they looked at Paul, and so they started Women's Live. And women started coming out of the homes, and they started usurping authority in places where that they're not supposed to have authority. And this country started spiraling and going down. And the kids, they began to turn out worse. And things got to be in a worse condition. And that's not all of the problem, but it did attribute to it. Are you still with me?
There's
holding a big thing. And they had this woman there, this woman there, it's this lady there, and they had her there, and she was lecturing on women's lib and women's rights. And I'm not for an Iraq setting with women. I'm not for a Muslim treatment of women. I'm not for that. The Bible treats women better than anything. Yeah. If you want to really get treated good, ladies, just get in the Bible place God wants you to be, and you'll get the best treatment you ever got in your life.
That's right.
You're right.
That's Bible. Mm-hmm. She was talking, you know, about women's lib and lectured for an hour. And when she got done with a big smile, she walked up to the microphone and she did like this. And she said, where would we be without women? One old gentleman in the back, white-headed, about 80 years old, stood up, raised his hand, and she said, yes, sir. He said, still in the garden, lady.
Amen.
Look, when it comes to the Savior, it was ladies first. Look over in Matthew real quick, Matthew 1. It looks like in Matthew 1, the Bible said, verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. when it's his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now she's already found with child of the Holy Ghost. God has already talked to her.
Yes.
The Holy Ghost has already spoke to her first.
Yes.
Right.
Now that's not the normal situation in the home. Some of you think these weird people, you know, these Amish and Mennonites and people. You get around them sometimes and their women won't talk to you. You've got to talk to their husband.
Right.
They'll go through their husband. Well, they're not as stupid as you think.
Yeah.
They may be in somewhat of a Bible setting, but possibly. Well, like Brother Epp says, this ain't going over, but I'm too far in here now. But it looks like the Lord spoke to Mary first.
Yeah.
And then he spoke to Joseph.
That's right.
Amen.
He told him what was going on. He said, go ahead and marry your wife. She's not been unfaithful. She hasn't committed adultery. This thing is of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Amen.
What a man of faith Joseph must have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what of us if our wife come in and said, I'm expecting a child.
Yeah.
Right.
But I ain't him or nobody. Mm-hmm. It's God's child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'd say, I'll help you pack and take you wherever you need to go. What a man of faith Joseph was.
Amen.
How close he must have walked with God. Amen.
Amen.
That's why he's picked to be the stepfather of
right.
Jesus, and that's why Jesus picked Mary to be the mother of Jesus.
Right.
But I want you to see that it was women first when it came to the Savior.
Amen.
Amen. Now look here at John 19. I'm trying to brag on you ladies.
Yeah.
You ought to help me a little bit.
This is a good spot.
When it came to standing at the cross,
that's right.
It was women first. Look in John 19. Look, if you would, verse 25.
Mm-hmm.
Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, Peter, and Matthew and Mark. Oh no! When it now stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother and his mother's sister. Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene.
Yeah.
When it comes to standing at the cross, it's women first.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Ladies first, thank God for ladies that stood by the cross.
Amen.
When their husbands wouldn't go to church, husbands wouldn't serve God. Many of us are here today saved and serving God because not because we had a daddy that served God, but because we had a mama that served God and stood by the cross until the rest of them came around.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, just look over the next page. Not only when it came to the Savior, was it ladies first, and when it came to standing at the cross, it was ladies first.
Yeah.
But when it came to starting to the tomb, it was ladies first.
That's right.
Right.
Look in John 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre, and then she runneth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Glory.
Yeah.
When it come to the resurrection,
hallelujah.
When it come to the tomb, it was ladies first.
Right.
When it come to wanting to get a message out of the resurrection, it was ladies first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mary, go tell them.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
John 4.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, look over in the 2 John this morning, where Brother Gordon read from this morning. 2 John, talking about ladies first. I said it's ladies first when it came to be attacked by Satan. It was ladies first when it came to sin's solution, bringing the Savior into the world. But thirdly, I want you to read here in verse 1, the elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth, not only I, but also all they that have known the truth for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ and the Son of the Father in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found that thy children walking in truth that we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which ye have had from the beginning, that we love one another. Now, let me say this morning. The lady will be first.
Amen.
when it comes to the second coming of Christ. You say, what do you mean? You mean we're going to get to go before our husband does? No, I don't mean that. They're sure dead and he's living. But here's what I mean. The church in the Bible always is referred to in the feminine sense most of the time.
Right.
A virgin.
Right.
A bridegroom.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
A virgin, a bride. Here in our text, an elect lady.
Right.
Ain't nobody leaving this world before the lady does.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
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 Woo!
Amen.
Amen.
Glory. It's ladies first.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now you ladies, you all, many of you, I've heard a lot of ladies say this, say, well, I wish I was a man.
Oh,
sad to say, I heard some men in our day say, I wish I was a woman.
Oh, me, brother.
That's a mixed up society that we're living in this morning.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
But all you women got to, you got a little man in you. You got a rib.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen.
First one did anyway. First one had a rib. Amen.
Amen.
And us men, we get to be called a lady. You say, why? We're in the church.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
We're part of that one virgin spouse to Christ.
Right.
We are the bride.
Yes.
Right. Amen.
Of Christ.
Amen.
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 And so one of these days you say, well, I don't see that. What's honey's right here in the text? Notice the descriptive words here. Notice here what he said. The elder, the elder. The elder. Now I know what it is here, but I'm talking about in typical, in typology, the elder.
Yeah.
You know who your elder brother is?
Yeah.
Your elder brother is Jesus.
Yeah.
And then notice he said the elect lady. You know who that is in typology?
Right.
That's the church.
Yes.
Right.
The elect lady.
Yeah.
And then he said in the children. You know who that is? That's what the church produces.
Yeah. You're
preaching the gospel. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
And then notice these descriptive words. If this don't do it for you, honey, I can't help you. He said that elect lady and her children whom I love.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Christ loved the church and gave himself for it.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
If that don't do it for you, look at these prescription words down through there. Truth.
Yeah.
Who is the ground and the pillar of the truth in this world? It's the church.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yes.
Truth.
Amen.
Grace.
Yeah.
The church is. We're saved by grace.
Amen.
For by grace are you saved, it says.
Yeah.
Grace, mercy.
Hey.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yes.
Thank God for His mercy.
Yeah, thank
Amen.
God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Peace.
Yeah.
Well, who should have any more peace in this chaotic world than the church? Amen.
Right.
Amen.
That's the picture here that we see.
Amen.
How about ladies first and the second coming? And what's another placement here this time? You see, before God comes to destroy this world, He's coming to rescue His wife and children.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is going to rescue His wife and His children.
Amen.
Any man that's worth his salt, any man that's got any manhood about him.
Yeah.
If something's fixed to happen and his wife and children are in danger, if there's any manhood about him, if he loves them like he ought to, he's going to do whatever he's got to do to get them out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
He's going to get us out, brother.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's going to be ladies first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. The church is going out first. There ain't nobody going out before the church goes out.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's ladies first. Amen.
Yeah.
There'll be a rescue.
Yeah.
There'll be a rescue involved.
Amen.
He's going to come and rescue us.
Right.
It ain't going to be Obama. It ain't going to be Biden.
Right.
It ain't going to be no senators.
Right.
It ain't going to be no congressmen.
Right.
It ain't going to be no new laws passed. It ain't going to be none of that stuff.
Right.
Jesus Christ is coming to rescue His bride. Amen.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Amen.
He's going to rescue us.
Amen.
wonder why all them movies.
Yes.
Wonder why so many of them, all them novels, wonder how so many of them are based on that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, back in the Middle Ages, it was always the prince that come to rescue.
Yep.
The damsel that was in distress and calling, the prince always come and rescued her.
Yeah.
And then Western movies, it's always the coward that comes and rescues her.
Yep.
It's always that way. Why is that? It's because the setting's in the Bible, and one of these days Jesus is coming to rescue us, his wife, out of this world.
Amen.
See, the Bible said, Paul said, I would not have you be ignorant.
Right.
Concerning them which are asleep, that you are not as others which have no hope.
Amen.
Lord, we believe that Jesus died. I believe that.
Amen.
And that he rose from the dead. I believe that.
Amen.
That them also that sleep with Jesus will God bring with him when he comes.
Yeah.
For this we say unto you, unto who? The elect lady. This we say unto you, that those which are alive and remain shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Amen.
Yes.
We shout with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and then we shall rise.
Yes.
Be it in the air, we shall rise first.
Yes.
Right.
Be it in the air. Somebody said, I think the dead's going up first. I don't believe that. I think they're coming up out of the grave first. I think we're all going together. That's what I think. Amen. What I'm saying is this, praise God. First. First. Amen. You know, I was talking about that becoming. And I'll tell you something, you know, lowering this 3 inches and raising this 6 inches and dyeing your hair and looking like Hollywood.
Bless it.
All that.
Bless it.
That might make you pretty for a little while.
Yes. Yeah. Right.
It's going to fade away.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
I'm always in the hospital, nursing homes, and they always have pictures sitting around, and I'm looking there and I'm saying, man, that's a beautiful person there.
Right.
Who is that? And now there's a dear lady there, and she's wrinkled, and her hair's messed up or falling out. And she says, that's me.
Yeah.
You see, I'm saying you ought to look the best you can. Fix up the best you can. I mean, there's nothing wrong with looking nice. You don't represent God good by looking like a bum either.
Right.
Or your shirt, you can't do it. They got a cleaners down here. 2 bucks, they'll fix one up for something.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Shine your shoes.
Yes.
I heard a preacher say one time, he said, always look at men's shoes to see if they're shining. Because he said, if they shine their shoes, that tells me they take care of small details.
Yeah.
Small details.
Right.
Comb your hair. Don't come in here looking like Phyllis Diller. Not for coming to God.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying don't fix up, but here's what I'm saying. There's an inward beauty if you can get it.
Yes.
If you can get it, when your teeth fell out, or your hair's gone, and you got wrinkles everywhere, you got that inward beauty, it won't fade away. It'll still be there.
Yeah.
And when that outward fades, it'll just come out in greater sense. Amen. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Look, there's the placement of it. The church is going out first. You say, why is that? Here's why it is. Look over at 1 Peter 3 and 7. It's all about the husband and wife. Look at verse 4. Talking to the wives here. Let's just read it. Likewise, you wives, be subject to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives.
That's right.
While they behold your chaste conversation covered with fears, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning, plaiting of hair, wearing of gold, or putting on apparel. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptly, in the ornament of a meek, quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. Amen. And notice verse 4 and circle that little word there. But let it be the hidden man.
Mm-hmm. Christ.
Yeah. You know why it's ladies first? There's a man hidden in you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. You're right.
True.
Yeah.
Hey.
Amen.
So, Eddie, you're saved, ain't you?
Yeah.
Amen.
Hey.
He, the Holy Ghost of God, lives in every saved believer.
Yes.
There's a hidden man of the heart. And if you've got that man inside of you, if you've been saved, it's going to be ladies first when he comes.
Amen.
But if you don't have that hidden man in the heart, if you ain't been saved, you ain't going first, second, third, or fourth. You're not going up. You're going down.
Right. Amen.
You're going down. Amen. This morning as we stand, I ask piano player to come today. We get a song here this morning. And Lord, help us stay in this day when the devil's fighting husbands and wives and families are falling apart and
preaching the word of God.
Divorces right and left on every hand. Let us men, first of all, step up, make sure we're doing what we ought to do as men of God. That we're leading our family and giving an example to our family. And then, ladies, let's get in our place. Be what God wants us to be. Then God can use us as the way He wants to. Father, we thank You this morning. Word of God. Thank You, Lord. There is a pattern. There is a plan for the home and the family and the husband and wife. And it simply will not work if we don't follow God's plan. Lord, help us to follow God's plan so that our marriages will work, our homes will work, our families will work. Help us, God, I pray. Now, Lord, I pray this morning that You'll take what I've said and You'll help people understand the way I meant it. Not the way Satan will tell them I meant it, but the way I meant it today, Lord, that they will take it. And realize these are the precepts of the Word of God at work. Lord, I pray for the lost today, if there is one lost today. Help them to realize that they won't be taken when the church is taken. They let go of that elect lady because they refused Christ. And they don't have that hidden man of the heart. And help them to come today, man, one of the boys or girls, obey God this morning. Lord, I pray this morning You'll help people be humble. Lord, to get on the altars and deal with their heart about something. Get on the altar and pray and get help from the Lord and say, Lord, help me to be what You want me to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let's sing today. I trust You'll mind the Lord this morning. We sing.
Thank You.
God's put you to a place that you just went on your own because you didn't agree with the Word of God. Don't do that. It'll end up in disaster. I can get my car and I can drive you around town. I can drive you out the country and I can show you places right now where it's a mess because the wife led the family out of the house of God. sir, come pray about it and get right and stay where God puts you this morning. As we say, shake somebody's hand this morning, you're free to go.
Amen. Preaching.
Y'all gonna be back this week? No?
I don't know, bro.
I heard somebody say that. Maybe you might have been out by the first of the month.
Yeah.
All
Well,
maybe they'll do something. Maybe they'll do something.
Oh, I'm trying to get